Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you're anywhere in the GovCon world, this podcast is for you. Listen and learn and help us make government contracts better one contract at a time. This episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition. Memberships in the Skyway community start at just $20 a month. Visit skywaymember.com to learn more. All right, let's get right to our topic. We're sticking with current events again this week. We're going to be talking about how COVID-19 and coronavirus-related issues are impacting GovCon. It's going to cover a whole lot of episodes. We'll get back to non-pandemic-related content as soon as we can, but it's kind of important to share information about what's impacting everyone right now. In this episode, we're going to talk more specifically about what authorities are available in cases of national emergency. Some of these are always available, and some of them are only available during specific times, like now.
And understanding the context of those times and how a contractor can be the path of least resistance for the contracting officer or for the government to have this access to your solution. You want to be the path of least resistance for them to say, I need this. You actually can make it. Here's a contract to get it to me now. However, you can't be the path of least resistance if you don't know what that path is. Right? This episode is about a special part of the FAR that is for just these kind of situations.
Before we get to that, let's stop and say thanks.
Thanks this week goes to Corey Upmeyer. He's an award manager and other transaction specialist, program manager at the National Institutes of Health. He's probably pretty busy right now, actually. He's also in the Washington, D.C. area. I want to thank Corey for consistently liking, sharing, and commenting on our Contracting Officer podcast episodes on LinkedIn, because that's how people find us, is people like Corey sharing our content.
Thanks, Corey. All right, let's get back to emergency acquisitions. Hey, that is what the FAR part is called. FAR part 18 is emergency acquisitions. Let's start with the definition of when this applies. FAR 18.001 says emergency acquisition flexibilities means flexibilities provided with respect to any acquisition of supplies or services by or for an executive agency that, as determined by the head of agency, and that's important, may be used. How may you use them? There's four things. First, in support of a contingency operation. Second, to facilitate defense against or recovery from cyber, nuclear, biological, chemical, or radiological attack against the United States. That's hard to say. Third is in support of a request from the Secretary of State or the administrator of the United States Agency for International Development, that's USAID, to facilitate the provision of international disaster assistance. Or fourth,
here's the one we care about right now,
when the president issues an emergency declaration or a major disaster declaration. So contingency ops is a military thing. If we've been attacked and we need to recover from basically any kind of attack against the United States, if there's been an international disaster and we need to help there, or if the president says we have a national emergency or a major disaster, then you go to FAR Part 18.
Until then, it was pretty dormant. For a long time, it didn't exist. It actually was developed in 2007, I believe. It's relatively new.
FAR Part 18 is unique in that 18.101, the whole first sub-paragraph, just calls out acquisition flexibilities that are already available to contracting officers. It doesn't require an emergency declaration or a war or contingency operations or a pandemic. It doesn't require anything. It's already there. But FAR Part 18 kind of consolidates them for you and says, don't forget that scattered throughout the other 51 chapters of this book, there are already a lot of flexibilities available to you contracting officers.
There are 27 examples, actually, in this FAR part, this sub part. A couple of them include the reference to unusual and compelling urgency. In other words, we need to have something now, and that can be decided on a contract-by-contract basis, even by the contracting officer. So that already exists.
And that's one of the regular FAR Part 6 authorities for other than full and open competition. When we talk about writing justification and approvals for that, unusual and compelling urgency is always available. It's usually a high bar. Like to say this is unusual and compelling, what we're going through now is certainly unusual and compelling.
Yeah, to write the justification now, you basically just have to reference the fact that the president said it's a national emergency and move on.
Right.
You don't have to provide the whole story as to why it's unusual and compelling. Another obscure one is that acquisition from federal prison industries, which at some point we'll do a podcast episode about federal prison industries. When there's an urgent need, you don't have to award through the FBI, the Federal Prison Industries. Also, you can solicit from a single source, as in awarding to a sole source, right? That the FAR Part 2 says you got to tell everybody. Well, unless it's urgent. Again, this is an authority that already exists. Another one is letter contracts, where the government can say, otherwise known as undefinitized contract actions. The government says, I need you to go start this. Here's a certain amount of money. Don't spend more than that. Go. We'll figure out the rest after.
We'll negotiate the rest later, but get started.
Correct. And again, I've done several of those when we weren't in a national anything. It was because of the program we had. Another one is hub zone sole source awards. That's always an available option. And advanced payments given urgency. I've never used that one, but if the contractor can get advanced payments if it's related to an urgency. So these are all, and there's a bunch of other ones. These are all things that the contracting officer can use at any time, whether there's an emergency declared by the president or not.
Remember, we just touched on 5 or 6 out of the 27 or whatever there are in that part. And these are all just reminders of the flexibilities that are already in the rest of the FAR. FAR 18.2 is specific to emergency acquisition flexibilities, things that are available to you only when something crazy has happened. The first one, 18.201, talks about contingency operations, and this is specific to military operations. When you're conducting contingency operations, the head of the agency can say, okay, this counts as contingency ops. The thresholds for micropurchases and simplified acquisition and purchase orders get increased dramatically. So it's not that you don't have thresholds or rules, but when those rules apply, suddenly lots more stuff can be bought without those rules.
For example, the micropurchase threshold goes from $3,500 to $20,000 for things bought in the U.S. and $30,000 for things bought overseas for OCONUS. So from $3,500 to $30,000, that's a big jump.
Yeah, almost a 10-time jump in the threshold. FAR 18.202 tells you that emergency acquisition flexibilities apply when the head of agency determines that the supplies or services that you're buying are going to be used to, again, facilitate defense against all those different types of attacks, facilitate provision of international disaster assistance, or support response to an emergency or major disaster. And so that president makes a declaration, head of the agency says go, and same as contingency ops, those thresholds are increased dramatically for micropurchases and simplified acquisitions. Another cool thing about this part is that anything can be called commercial, and you could buy it using commercial acquisition procedures. Now, this only applies to the attack part of it. If there's a cyber, nuclear, chemical attack on the country, then you can call anything commercial and buy it that way. It doesn't count for emergency declarations or disaster declarations like we're going through right now.
For more details about what you mean by commercial acquisitions, we did an episode called What is FAR Part 12? That was episode 92. The idea is things are faster. You don't need as much paperwork. You're able to treat things commercial. They're going to move faster. So that alone will speed up the acquisition process.
FAR 18.203 gives you the third time when emergency acquisition flexibilities are available. And that's what really matters right now. The 18.203 is emergency declaration or a major disaster declaration. When you're conducting disaster or emergency assistance activities, like a pandemic, preference will be given to local organizations, firms, and individuals when contracting for major disaster or emergency assistance activities, when the president has made a declaration under the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, and that declaration has occurred.
It occurred a couple days ago, I believe.
So preferences can be in the form of local area set-asides. You can say, I'm only going to solicit from businesses in this area that where there's been an emergency, or through an evaluation preference. You can get proposals from anybody anywhere, but the proposals from local organizations or individuals are evaluated more highly.
an example of how this is unique. This is designed for, let's say, a hurricane or an attack in a specific location. So the idea is that you're setting aside opportunities for the people in that location to have business and get back on their feet. What we have right now is nationwide. It's going to have hotspots or there's going to be nuance to it, but the application of this is kind of uncharted territories. So the Stafford Act's been around since, I think, 1950. It's been used periodically throughout history, some places, sometimes like 9/11, you'd think it was used. But understand that the application of it in this way with a pandemic,
yeah,
is yet, may you live in interesting times, because here, yeah, we are using something in another unique way.
I wonder whether local area for this, for a local area set aside, whether that, does that mean the entire country is now the local area for the pandemic? It's an epidemic across the whole world. It would, so is everything your local area now? No, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? If you're in a city, yeah, that has an outbreak, it's probably things near that city that count as local area.
Correct. I would think that the base that you're in or the government facility you're in, local to you, assuming that you're buying services and products to support your local facility, you're going to focus on using this act to only hire companies that are local, or you can.
All right. When does all this occur? And I don't mean after a pandemic and a national emergency declaration has been made. I'm talking acquisition time zones. This starts in the market research zone, because that's where the government is trying to decide, how should we buy this?
There are some things that you can buy them quickly, even without, if you have a blanket purchase agreement or you have a blanket ordering agreement, you could order it. You could order products and services right now anyway. You may not need to use these emergency acquisition authorities. But during the market research zone is when they're deciding which things have to be ordered first and which ones are going to need me to use these special authorities, yep, to get them fast.
Then it moves on to the RFP zone, where they're soliciting. They're either doing a micro purchase or a credit card purchase or a simplified acquisition type purchase, or releasing a whole solicitation.
Or sending a sole source RFP to one company.
There you go. Yeah.
To get it done.
That's,
yeah,
when
all those things.
The solicitation's released, the proposal's written, and the source selection zone, well, that doesn't apply for your sole source example, but for everything else, they got to pick somebody, and that's a source selection zone.
They still have to go through the proposal and decide how much they're going to trade off of fair and reasonable price and all that kind of stuff versus negotiating a contract with speed. And I can tell you from experience, that's a dicey environment. Because on one hand, you want to get it's a sole source contract. You want to get done quickly, but you also want to make sure that everybody understands what's in the contract, so that 2 months from now, you're not all chasing each other, figuring out you did things wrong. So even though there's only one company you're working with, you still have to evaluate that proposal and come to terms. And sometimes the strategy would be a letter contract where you say, you know what, let's just move out. We'll come to terms in 2 months and let's just get this done. So yeah, there's lots of options, lots of fluidity happening here.
So we're talking acquisition time zones today, not execution time zones, not what happens after award, but how do you buy in an emergency?
And if you're not familiar with the acquisition time zones, they're in episode number 3.
Let's get specific about why the government cares. Why does the government care about the flexibility that FAR Part 18 gives them, Kevin?
FAR 18.1 calls out where the FAR already gives me as the contracting officer authority to award under emergencies. You've got unusual compelling urgency under FAR Part 6. You have the ability to skip synopsis under FAR Part 5. Lots of options. But 18.2, that's the one that provides more. That's the one that makes this kind of unique. Regardless of these special things, the FAR gives this flexibility to award or to change existing contracts under these unique situations, such as a pandemic. And right after 9/11, I was at my desk as contracting officer. It was September 12th, and I got one of those formal letters from one of the executives in my agency, and everybody was freaking out, saying, we don't have time for the FAR. We got to get this stuff done. I mean, it's September 12th. You know, we're freaking out. And the letter basically said, we have the authorities already in the FAR. The ability to do things quickly is already in the FAR. So don't feel like you have to skip the FAR. Just look at, for example, these couple of places that allow you to do things quickly. So a lot of things are already available. We just have to remember that.
Yeah, even we haven't talked about FAR Part 50, but FAR Part 50 is extraordinary contractual actions. It has flexibilities like giving contracting officers the ability to modify contracts without consideration. So no consideration on either side. It could be like, maybe in this case, you could get a no-cost extension for your contract for 6 months and not have to come up with any consideration for the government in exchange for that. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe the government wants the no-cost extension, so they're ready for it, and they don't owe you anything more for extending it. Either way, the flexibility's already in the FAR, is what we're saying, right?
Exactly. I mean, and on top of that, you've got simplified acquisition procedures can be increased. We talked about the micro-purchase threshold being very much increased. And even having an item being able to be treated like a commercial item, that's a big deal.
All right, let's jump over to why does industry care?
You got to know the process the government can use so that one, you're the path of least resistance, you're ready, right? And number two, you can make recommendations. As a contracting officer, I put myself in the situation right now, I've got 1,000 decisions to make, right? If you can come to me with some recommendations of, hey, I already do this, it's already in the scope of my contract, in accordance with this FAR Part 18 thing, can we just increase it and do it as a sole source extension to what we're already doing? I'm throwing out there as an idea.
Right.
Make a recommendation.
Yeah, give me a letter contract. I can start today doing this because I've done it for all these other customers. Like you said, contracting officers are overwhelmed right now in these kind of situations. If you can offer them a solution to their problem, or even a solution to a problem they haven't had time to think about yet, it's much more likely that they will give you a sole source award or do a quick and easy type acquisition because they need it now. The country needs help now. If you can offer that solution to them in a way that makes it easy for them to award that path of least resistance, that award could happen really fast.
And the critical thing to remember here, this is why targeting is so important. If I've served your agency, I've targeted your agency, I understand what your needs are, and I say, hey, I know you already need this, here's a way to solve the problem. Versus, and I'm raising my hand because I had this happen a lot to me, after certain events, people say, hey, I heard your agency is buying stuff, I can help you. I don't need people just selling me stuff. I need you to know what I need and then bring it to me and understand how I can award it to you quickly.
Yeah.
The difference between those two is targeting.
It's not like you're the dump truck of cash and you're just shoveling out cash to anybody that walks by, right? That's not the way it works. But if someone
kinda
comes
how
up-
it felt after 9/11 a little bit.
Right, but if somebody comes up and says, hey, we know each other. I've done this before. I happen to have a BPA with you right now that you could buy this kind of stuff that it's in scope. You just maybe didn't think of it before. Boom, I'm going to buy it.
Because I got to solve a problem.
One thing to remember, some of the acquisition flexibilities that we're talking about are fast now, but they require some cleanup later, right? The expectation is that we'll have more time later when the urgency has subsided, but not everything is as simple as, hey, the micro-purchase threshold is higher, so I'm going to buy something using my card for, you know, $19,000, and once you buy it, gets paid, done. That's not a problem. What's a problem is when you have something like a letter contract. What can be a problem?
They have rules that still apply, but like you said, they can be easy to forget about. You know, 2 months later when you go to definitize the contract. In fact, we did a letter contract episode. It was episode 46. One of the key factors to think about is after the contract is awarded, you can only negotiate downward. So here's what this feels like as a contracting officer. We award the contract, we get the mission met. 2 months later, program manager got what he wanted, the user got what he wanted, the contractor got paid. Nobody's really interested in definitizing the contract.
Right.
And so it can be a painful exercise. Now, it is the right thing to do. And my recommendation as a contracting officer is have an eye to eye with everybody, say, okay, you're not going to blow me off in 2 months when I want to definitize this, right? And they go, yes, and you go on your way. But don't walk into that blind.
It's important to note that you can only negotiate the price downwards. When you start a letter contract, they ask you for a ceiling, rough order of magnitude. You say, I can do this for $90,000. You can't come back later and say, oh, it really cost $100,000. It doesn't work that way, right? When you negotiate it later, you can say, hey, it was $80,000. But anyway, that's kind of off topic. The point of that whole story is not everything is fast and easy. Some things are fast and then hard later. But you're not worried about that now. You're worried about supporting the mission and buying things that need to be bought to support the response to this pandemic.
So it's safe to trust you're not going to be burned by taking an emergency contract action. That's why FAR Part 18 is here for these very scenarios.
Yeah, if you're ever going to get grace for uncertainties and things going a little quickly and a little too undefined, it's right now. Do your part, help the government out, help your fellow citizens out, and trust that the government will make it all good in the end, if you actually deliver what you were supposed to deliver, right? You can't just take their money and run and trust that everything will be okay. It doesn't work that way.
There's no dump truck of cash. That is the quote of the day.
Right. All right. I'm glad we got to smile and laugh a little bit on this episode versus last week, although things are a little more dire now. We're able to talk about them a little differently. All right, let's wrap this one up, Kevin.
On the government side, faster is better in this case. You and I have made episodes about faster isn't always better. Well, in this case, it is. Okay, there's a variety of options to award or to negotiate an existing contract with haste, you know, in earnest, especially because the president enacted the Stafford Act effectively. That's a unique, this has not happened very many times, and it is the right time for it to happen and understand what it creates as far as the ability to get things done quickly.
And industry side, know the options. You're better positioned to win awards, and in this case, actually win awards to support the mission of recovering from this pandemic. You're better positioned if you know all the ways that the government could award to you quickly, right? Know the pros and cons. Be ready to offer those up to your contracting officer with your solution. Like you were saying, Kevin, you have to target so you know your customer's mission. Then you go to them and say, I can do this for you under my BPA, or I can do this for you and you can use this authority in FAR Part 18. Don't just tease them. Don't try to make them guess what you're getting at. Tell them exactly how they can buy from you right now, and it'll go much more quickly. All right, with that, I'll talk to you next week, Kevin.
All right, I'll see you, Paul.
Okay, that's it for this episode of the Contracting Officer Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. We hope everyone is heeding the government's advice and staying safe. If you enjoyed today's podcast, we invite you to check out the Skyway community at skywaymember.com. The Skyway community is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of starting, running, or growing a business in the GovCon world. We speak GovCon. Personal memberships start at just $20 a month and include all of our training and learning resources. Check out skywaymember.com or call us at 877-884-5280 to learn more. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week. All right, specifically on the government side, why does the government care?
Because they knocked over their water bottle. That's why they care.
Another emergency disaster.
That's right.
Do you need to mop that up?
Fortunately, it has a lid on it. Good
okay,
job,
that's good. I didn't.
Going to short out all our podcasting equipment.
That's why you didn't hop up and run around right away.
Okay.
All right. Let me do that again.